Tarlehurst End Podcast.
By Reading fans, for Reading fans.
Hello and welcome to the Tarlehurst End Podcast Extra in association with The Working and Paper. My name is Ollie Allen, your host for today's show. And I'm delighted to be joined, as ever, by The Working and Paper's Tom Crocker. Tom, hi, how are you?
Morning, Ollie. Good, thank you. How about yourself?
Not too bad, thank you. Yeah, well, I think we just talked off air briefly there about the two defeats this week, so that's put a little bit of a dampener on things, but other than that, not too bad at all.
Yeah, draw in midweek, not a defeat. But
a draw against Bolton. Yeah, I do apologise, but we will get onto that draw at the Macron a little bit later. But we will go back first to the Wolves game last weekend. Obviously 2-0 to the league leaders. Ivan Cavallero opening the scoring off for 16 minutes with a nice bit of skill to round Vito Minone before Matt Doherty took advantage of some relatively poor defending to add a second. But would you say that Reading's performance was actually quite promising on the day, despite obviously coming off on the wrong end of the scoreline? But they had more shots than Wolves. I think John Swift had an effort tipped onto the post. And in general, just sort of they were sort of denied by some very good goalkeeping and some very good defending.
Yeah, exactly that, really. I think before the game last week, sort of spoke about it, and I thought I sort of said that the performance was sort of the main thing, really, and that Wolves are going to beat, I think, most teams this season. If Reading can match them and get a bit of a confidence booster that way, then I think that would be the main thing to try and take out of it. If they can't get a result, try and go into these next run of winnable games. I think they certainly did that. I think if you are going to win, you need a bit of luck on the day, and like you say, that shot from Swift hit the post, and the one just after from Barrow when he charged down the keeper and it just went wide. I mean, if one of them goes in, then that's the sort of thing I think you need to happen on the day to get a win against a team as good as Wolves seem to be this season. And then you say the first goal was a bit of sloppy defending, really, but well finished by Wolves. And then the second goal, it's right at the end of the game, and I'm not sure it's got too much bearing on it, really. John Ruddy was the sort of the standout man. I think from the Wolves side of things, they said he was their best player as well, so he made some great saves, and Reading just couldn't finish off the chances they made. But yeah, I think like you say, they created a lot of chances against the best team in the league, and that's got to be a positive, because they hadn't really created that many chances against other teams this season. So I think that showed that they are still sort of pushing in the right direction. First game back after the break, after a couple of wins, and obviously they went up to Bolton in fairly confident mood after the performance they put in, if not the result.
Yeah, definitely. I think we spoke last weekend, last Friday before the Wolves game, and you said that you were tipping Wolves for promotion. Do you think it was just the case that they are sort of a step above most of this division this season, and they will beat a lot of sides, and they probably will go up, and Reading, unfortunately, is sort of the victims to that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, like I say, I think Reading sort of matched them really on the day, but if you look at it and their results, I think they've got more points now than quite a few of the teams that have got promoted in previous years, so they look like they're going to be really tough to stop, and they've built a really, really good squad of players. They spent a lot of money on doing it, and it looks like it's going to pay off for them. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I backed them at the start of the season. They seem to just be getting better and better, and it's going to take something special for two teams to finish above them this season. I can't see one team finishing above them, really. I think they are the best team in the league, and it's a game that Reading have sort of got out of the way and could have got something from, so I think that's got to be a confidence booster. Obviously, they need the points, though, really, on the table, but yeah, from a game like that, I think to put in a good performance is sort of the primary focus for them, and then obviously it's on to the, like I mentioned, the next bunch of games, which you look at it and think they should be getting points from those ones.
Yep, so from facing a team towards the top of the table, Reading then travelled to Bolton on Tuesday night, who sat 23rd at the time, but before the game, they were unbeaten in six, I believe, so, and obviously managed by ex-Reading man Phil Parkinson. We saw Ansu Iacola make a first ever league start for Reading that day, with what seemed like sort of a sudden withdrawal from Vito Minone. Do we know anything behind that, or is he expected to be back this weekend?
Yeah, it's not clear yet whether he's back or not. He had to fly back home to Italy, I think, on Tuesday morning or late on Monday for family reasons. So yeah, there was obviously talk about an injury before the break with him. It's not an injury problem. He obviously played against Wolves and he's had to go back to Italy for personal reasons. So it's not, yeah, like I said, they haven't said yet if he'll be back for this weekend. But yeah, I think Ansu, he turned into a bit of a hero at the end of the game, really.
He
had a little bit of a shaky start, I think, on the ball. But as the game went on, he had not a great deal to do. Couldn't really do much about the goals, I don't think. And then produced a couple of brilliant late saves, not sure how much he knew about the Lafondre, but he made the stop, he was in the right place, and it was a good day for him. And yeah, I think he's obviously someone who's had to wait for his chance, and a lot of Reading fans, when they thought Vito was injured, they were fairly happy with Ukola to be given a little run in the team, and he seemed to show what he can do on the day. So if Vito is out, obviously we want him there tomorrow, but if he's not there, then I don't think it'll be a massive problem to have Anzi in for a couple more games.
Definitely, I think there's certainly worse backups you could have. I think he's a very, very experienced goalkeeper, obviously not necessarily in this division, but in other countries with like Cape Town, and he played with Kilmarnock in Scotland as well, I think. So moving on to the game itself, Reading found themselves 2-0 down inside 23 minutes. The goals coming from Reece Burke and Darren Prattley, both of them coming from corners. It's always a little worrying when you can see two goals from sort of similar scenarios, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really, really poor defending. I think one of them might have been a free kick out wide, which was sort of flicked over and headed in at the back post. And then the second one, I think they're trying to claim a foul for it. I've only seen one little replay, and it's not the best angle. But Yap seemed pretty confident after the game it was a foul. But either way, it's turned into a free header in the six-yard box, which you can't let happen at all, and especially against a team like Bolton, who are going to try and get their goals through that method. I know they would have spoken about that beforehand, and to let in two so early on from set pieces gives yourself such a mountain to climb already. And yeah, it's not how you want to, you don't concede goals obviously at all, but it's not how you want to concede two goals so quickly, and it's something they've got to look to. So I think it's been, I'm trying to think back off the top of my head, I think they've let in a couple like that already this season, but yeah, obviously that after that Bolton, they didn't really create too many clear openings until right at the end. So for the majority of the game, Reading sort of controlled it possession wise and chances wise and came back into it. But yeah, like you say, the goals they conceded were disappointing.
Yeah, so they, as you mentioned there, they did come back in the second half, goals from Liam Moore and a penalty from Leandro Bacuna coming in sort of the last 50 minutes or so, which shows there is certainly team spirit in this side, and there's certainly a determination to get back into games, and it shows that their heads don't drop quickly. Is that sort of the Yap style of it, do you think?
Yeah, quite possibly. It's something we saw quite a lot last season. I think they battled back quite a lot and picked up points that way. And yeah, I mean, like I say, they were sort of well in control, it looks like, against Bolton. And it was just seemed like a matter of trying to stay patient and get back into it. And they did. They got, obviously, Liam Moore popped up again with another goal. And
then third goal of the season, I think.
He's proven quite prolific, which is, I don't know if that's a worrying sign or not, if he's one of the top scorers, but... Yeah. Yeah, he's having a great season again, and then the penalty, it's a clear penalty, great from Mo Barrow again, and Bakuna's tucked it away. So from there, you hope that maybe they can go and try and grab a winner, but they were sort of hanging on a bit at the end, so I think you take a point. But yeah, it's that's the positive to take from it. I think that they have got the character still to dig in and fight back, and they're all still very much behind the manager, I think, and they're not sort of downing tools or anything. It's just letting two sloppy goals, and then after that they tried the whole rest of the game to get back into it and got their award at the end. So yeah, like you say, team spirit I think is the big positive to take from it, and you hope that they can use that in the next week or so.
Yeah, there were a couple of grumbles on social media from a couple of fans just about the style again. Obviously Stam sort of reverted back to the slow sort of build up possession, but they had 73% possession. Do you think that is just going to be a case this season where he's just going to try and persist with this system, or is it going to be a certain approach for different teams? Obviously, we saw them try to play fast, the counter-attacking football against Derby and Nottingham Forest and got those results. But obviously, going back to this sort of possession-based style of football against Bolton, is that sort of a case where he's going to still be quite stubborn, or do you think he is going to be more flexible in terms of how he approaches different games?
I think he's stubborn generally, but I mean, like you say, certain games he does mix it up, and you can never really guess what his team's going to be, so he always looks at who he's playing and picks accordingly. And I think they just backed himself into such a corner early on in that game that it was going to be one of those games where they had all of the ball, and they just had to try and find a way through. I'm not sure if that was the complete game plan from the start, but the way they found themselves 2-0 down, and Bolton aren't going to come out and try and do anything then, they've got no need to, so they're going to have all the ball in and around the box, and they've got to try and find a way through. So it's not like they didn't want to try and do that counter-attacking. Like you say, at Derby, it's a bit of a different game, I think, because Bolton are struggling a bit down the bottom, grinding out results. He showed that he can be flexible. I mean, I saw some of the fans that were at half-time were not particularly happy at all with it, and that's just right, fairly so. It's a long trip up there, and it was, by all accounts, an awful first half, so... Hmm. They've battled back into it, and like you say, they've just got to hope, you got to hope now that they can use this as a bit of a springboard to push on again. Because every time it seems like they are doing that, they have a setback and lose a game. So that's been the biggest problem all season. They just can't build any momentum. And like I say, had they got those two wins before the break and had they won on Tuesday, I think you could sort of write off the Wolves one a little bit and it would still be a good run. But now suddenly they've dropped two more points. I think you have to class it as 2 points dropped if you want to be pushing up towards the top. So now they've got a bit of a, like I said, they've backed themselves into the corner again, really. They need to pick up the points really quickly in the next week or so to push up the table. So, yeah, they got Saturday and then Tuesday and two home games, and now they've got to pick up the points because they've dropped two on Tuesday. So,
yeah, I was going to ask, do you think it's a good point or a bad point? Obviously, there's the side of the argument where you can sort of say, oh, we were 2-0 down, we've showed great spirit to fight back and get a point. But at the same time, if you are wanting to get into the sort of the playoff positions, you should really be beating sides that are sitting 23rd in the table.
Yeah, I think it kind of depends on the next two results. Yeah, I agree that if you want to be up there, you've got to be winning those sort of games. But on the flip side, when you 2-0 down and then again you're hanging on at the end, I think you've got to take it as a good, decent point away from Birmingham. It's a team that haven't really been losing many games recently. So I think I tweeted before the Bolton game that they need the very minimum 5 points from the next three games, and they've got one now. I think ideally they need more than that, but I think that's the very minimum to keep them even in touch, really. So if they pick up two home wins now, then I think the point of Bolton will look okay. But obviously if they lose one of these next two, then it's going to be a real struggle again, and they're going to be quite a long way off, because I think the gap is starting to build a little bit now if you look towards the playoff spots. And obviously they've got that game in hand, so next week you'll finally be able to see clearly where they are. So yeah, I think it depends a little bit on the next week whether it's a good point or not.
Yeah, so the point does leave Reading 19th in the table on 19 points. That's 5 above the relegation zone and then 10 off the playoffs. And as you say, with the game in hand coming next Tuesday against Barnsley, so as you say, the pitch will be a little bit clearer after that. So moving on to a couple of news bites this week. It's been quite a quiet week in terms of news. The first bit of news is a very positive one. On the 23rd of December, it's Reading's 500th game at the Malaysia Stadium, and the club have superbly made all tickets £5 for this game. It's just another great ticket initiative for fans, isn't it? After the Man United subsidies and the 20 to plenty, it's just superb again from the club, isn't it?
Yeah, it's brilliant work from the club. I think that's one of the big pluses, that the club can always seem to find ways to try and keep the fans on side and keep it affordable for everyone, which is obviously the main focus of most of these clubs, when they don't need to charge extortionate prices, really, when they know it's a game against a not particularly glamorous opposition, and it's a game where now they'll probably pack it out, which will be brilliant just before Christmas as well. And sorry, £5 and for the away fans as well, which I think is great for trying to build an even better atmosphere from the club. And I think these two home games this week are both, I think they were 2-for-1 for quite a lot of fans as well, because it was obviously rearranged. So they seem to always be looking for ways to try and help out the fans. Obviously there'll always be criticism from someone for some of the things the club do, but I think this one in particular, I don't think there can be any real fault with it. And yeah, it's just another brilliant way to try and celebrate a good occasion and make it a good atmosphere in there. So yeah, I think it's all positive on that one.
Definitely. I think there were some strange complaints from season ticket holders about how they don't really get anything from this apart from 50 Raw's reward points. But I think, you know, the way I see it, I mean, season ticket holders get discounts on games throughout the entire season. I think to sacrifice this one game and to allow 500 tickets for everyone else to try and create a better atmosphere and to really celebrate this milestone, I think there's nothing really wrong with that at all.
No, I think, yeah, like you say, that there'll always be some fault somewhere that people will try and say. And it's a fairly valid point that you've paid a certain price for what you think is going to be a set number of games. And that suggests that they didn't, if they'd thought about it at the start of the season, they might have then worked into their ticket. But it's obviously something they've thought of recently. And they've acknowledged as well, the season ticket holders, by doing the royalty points. And I think they're giving more points away for some fans as well. And
yeah, I think it's a random 500 points to 500 supporters.
Yeah, it's clear that they've thought about that they don't want to leave them shortchanged. And it's like you say, they're discounted all season. And yeah, if some fans feel like that, then that's their opinion, that's fair enough. But I think generally it's a good initiative, and it's a good way of trying to get everyone on side as well. And like I said, had they thought of it at the start of the season, I'm sure they would have worked it into the plans. But it's probably something that's just come up recently, and they've decided to go down this route. And I think 95% of the people are really happy with it.
definitely, yeah. So moving on to some perhaps more worrying news, perhaps. Omar Richards, we've had another transfer rumour this week. Omar Richards being linked to Bournemouth and Derby by The Sun, who say that he's rated about £2 million. His contract is up in the summer. Do you think there's much truth in this? And if there is, how important do you think it is for Reading to hold on to what seems like a very, very bright and promising young youth prospect?
Yeah, I mean, whenever you've got someone whose contract's running out, it's going to be a talking point. He wasn't really a name that was in the frame until this season, so it seems a bit strange that suddenly now everyone's interested.
It's probably that performance at Derby that's probably
So I think he's only played four games still all season, so it's not, he's played four games of senior football, so for someone to then come in and want to pay £2 million for him is, seems a bit strange on the face of it, but it might just make him think a little bit, or it might help the agent out when they're discussing the contract possibly, if he can try and suggest that there's other clubs interested. But I think he's someone that Reading will want to probably hold on to. I think there's a decent chance he'll get a few more games in the run-up to Christmas, obviously with the beta still out, and there's no one really nailed down that left-back spot still. So I think it's up for grabs for him. And whether you look at the other players that have burst onto the scene and then ended up lower down the league. So
yeah, the likes of Aaron Tischbein, obviously now struggling. I think he was recalled by MK Dons and seems sort of a nowhere man at the moment, I think.
Yeah, and obviously you had... thinking of obviously Fossive as well, who burst through and then just fell away from the picture and left the club. So they're going to want to keep hold of some of them, and it's sort of, obviously they're no doubt in contract talks with him already, and between now and Christmas he'll probably try and boost his claim a little bit for a better contract, and if there's people sniffing around as well, that'll help his cause as well. But I find it unlikely that someone will come in and pay for him in January when his contract's running out anyway, so I think that's something they'll have to keep an eye on. But it's not I don't think it's a concrete rumour or anything just yet.
Yeah, you mentioned Jordan Abita's obviously injury, they're out for the season, and that sort of does make Richards almost more important in a way, because you've got Tyler Blackett, who I don't think Stan really favours that much. I think he played on Tuesday, but other than that, I mean, Chris Gunter can play there, but certainly Richards is definitely a good option to have there. Speaking of injuries, how are we looking ahead of the Sheffield Wednesday game? I know Jan Kermit obviously made his first start Saturday against Wolves, but then played no part on Tuesday. Was that just a simple case of sort of just resting him?
No, he picked up an injury. Yeah, he picked up a minor hip problem, which apparently wasn't related to his recent injury, but they didn't want to take any risk on it. I think he blocked a clearance or a tackle and felt something in his hip, so he was left out on Tuesday night, but they're hoping that he'll be okay again for Saturday. Obviously, they don't want to take any risk at all with him, so I think it's more that than a major problem at the moment.
Okay, good.
Yeah, and then
John Swift came up on early against Bolton. Is he any news on him?
Yeah, so that's what I was going to mention. John Swift, he came off again. I think it's hamstring problem again with him, which is getting into it's becoming more and more worrying really, because every time he comes back, he was obviously brilliant against Forest, and then he's picked up this another hamstring problem. I think they've been sort of managing him in training, giving him lighter sessions to try and make sure it doesn't happen, but it's just a case of he played a couple of games in the space of a few days and he seems to have felt it again, and he's gone off early, and I think it sounds like he's probably going to be out for the weekend. It's not been confirmed, but again, they're not going to want to take too many chances on someone who seems to keep breaking down, just he's getting into great form again. So that's another worrying one. I think Liam Kelly came off the bench, so he's back involved now, so that could be a sort of a straight swap there, or as Pella Clement as well came on, so they've got options in there if they want to play the same way. And Bodvarsson as well has been coming back into the game now, so if Jan isn't available, he's back in the squad. So the injuries are easing. They've still got quite a lot of players out, but yeah, it seems to be one in, one out all the time, all season, which is just becoming more and more frustrating for Stam, I'd imagine. The one player who will be back is Vandenberg from suspension, so he'll get back into the squad. Whether he starts or not will be another debate, but yeah, it seems to just be a case of a revolving door in the treatment room at the moment.
Indeed, yeah. So looking ahead to the Sheffield Wednesday game in general, obviously Sheffield Wednesday sitting currently 12th on 25 points, obviously also in the playoffs last season, just as Reading were. And they also came off, they drew 2-2 on Wednesday against Ipswich. They haven't lost in their last five. I mean, they are 12th in the table, Tom, but on paper, do you think they should be higher? They've got a lot of quality in this one. They've got Gary Hooper, who's got 9 goals this season. They've got the likes of Barry Bannon, Adam Reach, Jordan Rhodes, Stephen Fletcher. This is a squad that should really be doing, much like Reading in a way, should be sitting higher than they are, probably.
Yeah, probably. I think if you look at all the teams who were in the playoffs last year, they've all struggled a little bit this season. And is that might just be a playoff hangover, quite possibly. And then Sheffield Wednesday, 2 years in a row now, they've been up there and not made it. So you'd imagine they'll probably come strong again towards the end of the season, as they tend to do. And I watched that game on Wednesday, actually, and they didn't offer much at all, to be honest. They didn't look great. And I think at half-time, they said it was 200 minutes since they'd had a shot on target. So, they seem to be struggling a little bit, and they only had 2 shots on target in the whole game, and they scored them both, a penalty and a 94th-minute header. They didn't look great. They're obviously not having the best of seasons, but they're still hovering around, and then, like you say, they've got a lot of quality in the squad. So it's a game that Reading could win. I mean, there's nothing to fear there right now. I don't think they're not in brilliant form. It's not like when Wolves came here, so there's every chance they can do something if Reading turn up on the day. It's just better Sheffield Wednesday, like you say, they'll be buoyed by that 94th minute goal, and they've got quality in the team, so it just depends on if Reading can keep them quiet, really, and actually take their chances this week, hopefully.
After this week, obviously, after the defeat at Wolves and the draw to Bolton, how important is it that Reading sort of get back on track and get a win this weekend?
Yeah, I think they certainly need to win in one of these next two, and I don't think they can afford to lose any of them. If they can win both, then suddenly it'll look a lot better. Which you look at the two home games, and if they want to be serious about being contenders again, they've got to start winning at home again. And beating a Sheffield Wednesday team, that'll be a really good win if they can get a win against Sheffield Wednesday, because they'll be up there near the playoffs as well at the end of the season, you'd imagine. So it'll be a little bit of a statement win as well, and show that they, like we mentioned earlier, it'll back up the draw at Bolton, really. If they draw a Bolton and then lose Sheffield Wednesday, having lost the Wolves, it's going to been a really long week, and there's going to be questions asked again, and the gap, any hopes of looking up the table are going to look a long way off. I think it's sort of 10 points already, the gap, so I don't think they can really afford to lose it, and that probably adds a little bit more pressure onto it tomorrow, but hopefully they can thrive under that, which they tended to do last year when they really needed to.
In terms of the prediction league then, you correctly predicted the Wolves, not scoreline, but you did predict the Wolves would beat Reading last weekend, and I think, like most of us, I think you said Reading would beat Bolton. Obviously that wasn't to be. So that leaves the table, Wims on 10, you are second on 9 points, and then Johnny and Mark are on 8, I'm not entirely sure, on Handbags and Westies points. But what are you going to go for this weekend against Sheffield Wednesday?
I can't see it being a particularly exciting game, to be honest. I think it's going to be two teams who are desperate not to lose again. I can see it ending in a draw. I'm going to go 1-1.
Yeah, I think I'm tempted to agree with you. Perhaps, I think Reading perhaps more likely to win than Sheffield Wednesday, but
I think
it should be a fairly even game. Obviously, we mentioned the Barnsley game next Tuesday. I'll leave that one for now to see how the weekend goes. What can we look forward to on the working in paper this week?
Yeah, so it's just the two games coming up, really, albeit both of them on Saturday and Tuesday. So it's on Wokingham.today for all the coverage there, and on my Twitter as well, Tom J. Crocker. It will be live from the Mad Stad tomorrow.
Fantastic stuff. And, of course, remember to check out all the Tireless End socials as well. It's at the Tireless End on Twitter and also on YouTube and Facebook as well. Tom, thank you very much for joining me once again this week.
Cheers, Ollie. Thank you.
No worries. And we will look ahead to the... I've got it this week. It's Sunderland versus Reading next weekend. The long trip up to the Stadium of Light. Obviously, they're sitting bottom. So we will look ahead to that one next week. All that's left to say is thank you very much for listening. And come on, you Ars.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
at the Tarlhurst End.
And facebook.com/the Tarlhurst End.